If you've made it this far in my anger series, I have to say thank you for joining me. I also am hoping that you're getting as much out of this as I am. What's fascinating is I keep returning to these episodes and hearing things that I somehow didn't hear or I guess didn't retain the first time around. Every time I go to upload one of these episodes, I'm amazed at how beneficial this is. So here is the next one in the anger series. This is my friend, Sherry. How old is our friendship? Maybe like 4 years?
Yeah, possibly. I haven't thought about it.
Sherry's 49. One of my first questions I'm asking people, are there three words that you give great importance? I know I've put you on the spot. Had I asked this ahead of time, you would have been prepared with those
three
answers.
Words of great importance to what?
You.
To me, personally, just three words. I would have to have context for what the words are
okay.
for.
So one of my words is wholeness. I see that as a really important word in my life. I have a wholeness rune, and I've had that since I was 19. In fact, I think I got it for my 20th birthday. A friend made it for me. And I had no idea at the time that wholeness would be such a big deal to me. But it was in my 20s that I realized how not whole I am. It became kind of a word to represent a dream. And not a dream like, oh, one day I'll have this thing or one day I'll have that thing. But more, one day I might feel whole. I might have this comfort, content, goodness thing that is wholeness. So wholeness has always been one of my words. As a writer, clarity is a big deal for me. So much of my life was not clear, and I didn't know that. So clarity is also one of my big words. I feel like I have tons of words, but for the sake of this podcast and my examples, I keep using those too, mainly because I feel like they very much relate to anger.
I think for me, my words change all the time. Uh-huh. So it would be more like right now in my life, I think one of them is sovereign.
Mm.
Because I'm claiming more of myself than I ever have before. And another one is imagination. Like I'm getting my imagination back. The type of imagination I had as a kid.
Nice. I agree with you. Words change over time. So some words just take a back seat sometimes.
Balance.
Oh,
balance. One. Yeah. Because all my life I've worked my butt off. And now it's like I need balance in my life. I need to do fun things and I need to work and I need to be on top of things, but I need to play.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching myself how to play.
Mm-hmm. As you say that, an important word that comes to my mind is laughter, because it's amazing how much more balanced I feel when I'm laughing or when I'm having times that I find it easy to laugh. Because there are times where it seems really, really hard to laugh.
I feel like it's been years since I've claimed that laughter that I used to have. Maybe they go hand in hand.
I hope you're on the threshold of a lot of laughter.
Me too.
So on anger, how does it unfold for you? And this isn't a real specific question. I just want to know how you see it, how you experience it. Just anything you have to say on anger.
Anger is vitally important in our experience. It's very important. Like, I don't know where to start. Like, should I tell a story?
Yeah, elaborate. However you like.
So I was brought up being taught that anger is bad. I know that a lot of people have been brought up that way or taught that way. Like, you're not allowed to be angry. But it was especially prevalent. Like, you cannot be angry. Like, the word of the household was, like, keep sweet. But my parents were very angry people.
That was a common saying?
Yeah.
Keep sweet.
Keep sweet. But both of my parents were very physically, emotionally abusive, and there was yelling all the time.
But you weren't allowed to be angry.
No. And my dad had a very bad anger issue. He would go into these rages where he would lose himself, and we would be thrown across the room, or we could have died at any time, but none of us did. It was like a miracle that none of us did.
Yeah, I remember you one time telling me about how black and blue you were.
Yeah.
I remember that story being amazed that you lived through it. But don't be angry. Keep sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot of my siblings and me have dealt with anger issues as we've got older and had kids and stuff, and having those anger issues come up and not know why or where they came from, and suppressing that anger that we weren't allowed to have, that my parents did have, that they put on to us, we had to figure out how to release. And I didn't know it at the time, you know. I would just be suddenly just overcome by all this anger, and I wouldn't know how to deal with it. And then I would just hate myself for feeling angry. It would consume me so much that I would just want to throw something, hit something. And sometimes I would have to leave whoever was in the room at the time. I had to have to leave, go hit a tree or do something, go hit a pillow. You know, I was like bound and determined that I wasn't going to hit my kids or anybody else in a fit of rage like my parents did. For the longest time, I just hated myself so bad. And I wouldn't, every time that anger would come up, I would be so angry that I was angry that I couldn't even let the anger really out or figure out what it was. And I would suppress it again, suppress it again.
I understand being angry that you're angry. I do. Because it's such an uncomfortable place to be.
Well, it's not only uncomfortable. It's like when you're shamed for feeling anger, then you feel like you're not going to be accepted in society because you're angry.
You know, I didn't think of that because for some reason, I am not tasked with shame. I don't understand feeling that. I understand that others do, but I hadn't thought of that.
So I found this book, something about, I can't remember the name of it or the author, but it was about the about accepting anger as a tool in your life. It was like transformational for me. It's like, oh my gosh, I can accept my anger and my feelings. So the next time I felt the anger, I allowed it to come up and I sat there and my body was shaking.
Oh.
And these visual images of rage and beating something or killing something went through my head. And I felt the rage that my dad felt and the rage that my mom felt. And I just let it flow through my body. And I just sat there and let it be.
Oh, really?
But I didn't go hit a tree. I didn't go do anything else. And I didn't shame myself for it anymore. I just let it be and I let it flow through my body.
So this sounds an ignorant question, but you just sat there shaking.
Yes, I sat there shaking and closed my eyes and I allowed myself to feel the anger.
Oh, and so you were like present with the anger.
Yes.
Oh.
And the first time I did that, it changed me and I felt the change and the shift in my body and my experience throughout the rest of my life after that, you know, as I processed the anger. I liked that experience because then I wasn't putting my anger out on anyone. I wasn't influencing anyone by my experience. I was just being with it and it's just me and it.
Wow. I've never considered doing that because when anger for me takes over, of course, I'm flooded with tears because it's a large emotion and any large emotion just sends me into tears. But it also like commandeers my concentration on a level that seems like a violation. I've just been overcome with discomfort.
Well, I get the overcome with discomfort part because it's so strong and it's so prevalent that it tries to control you and it tells you what to do and you just want to let go and release it and have that tension just release through that. And sometimes I would have to drive somewhere and just scream as hard and as loud as I could just to release that. But sometimes when I couldn't do that, I would sit in it and just be present with it. And that way it wasn't taking over my choices.
You know, I think only once have I ever screamed into a pillow through anger. And now as I hear you say about screaming, I'm like, I wish I had used that as a tool more often too.
I think some people experience different levels of and types of anger than other people do. Like for you, you didn't get those visions of rage to where you wanted to kill something or kill someone or anything like that. But for me, my mom wanted us dead. like for all of us kids. So we felt that killing feeling from them.
Oh, wow.
And my dad, when he would throw us across the room and stuff, he didn't care if he was going to kill us. We always felt like we were on the verge of life and death. Hmm. And so that rage that they put into us through that experience has become our responsibility and liability to change, to shift, to move it through us and not become us.
Mm. Wow. It's interesting you use those words, responsibility and liability. Hmm. As I've been speaking to people, I'm fascinated how everybody has different things to say. And just yesterday, a friend through text said they were struggling with anger too and struggling with a family member's death. And it dawned on me, that's a whole nother kind of anger, losing somebody you don't want to lose. It's almost amazing. One emotion, so many directions it can be coming from. I have had friends, even after we turned off the recording, say to me, well, Natalie, you couldn't be angry as a child, so you're obviously having to be angry now. And that sounds like such an obvious thing, but it's something I never said to myself. But, you know, psychology is so deep. Everything doesn't just unfold in an obvious way, even when at times it might be obvious to somebody else.
But true.
There's so many reasons to feel any emotion. And so my wanting clarity on this has opened my eyes to just how broad anger is and how diverse we all are. I'm so glad I'm doing this. I'm so glad that this even came to me as something to consider instead of therapy, because therapy was not helping.
Well, to have so many different perspectives, that's so valuable.
Yeah. And the whole reason I wanted to do this was it was during therapy that I was going, God, if only you knew me, you could advise me. But you don't know me. And you keep telling me that I have anxiety, that the therapy was very anxiety centered. And I kept weekly saying, I don't have anxiety. I don't struggle with anxiety.
You're not an anxious person. You're not.
Not one person who knows me recently could call me anxious.
Yeah.
You were going to say?
No, I was just saying, like, only till recently did this anger start coming up. And then it was like a slap in the face. And you're like, how am I going to deal with this? Why is this coming up now? You know?
Rainey and I slightly touched on the ankle biters when we were recording. And it was after we stopped recording that we really explored that. She went home. And we continued audio messaging one another. And one of the things that she and I talked about that I hadn't ever considered was, to begin with, my dad, we know he's an angry person. We know he's a negative person. We know he's a narcissist. We know he's a violent person. We know everything is about him. So what he's carrying around, none of it's good, right? He's never done a nice thing for anyone. He calls me on the phone. I had the opportunity to say all the things I wanted to say, things that may or may not be nice even. So in a way, I invited negative energy in while talking to somebody who carries all this negative energy. So I've referred to it as opening a can of worms, because I just haven't felt the same since that phone conversation. I haven't felt myself. For 3 months, I was like super not myself. I was so out of sorts. Maybe this is what Rainey and I were talking about. Let's just call them energy parasites. Maybe I allowed some energy parasites in, and they aren't easy to get rid of. And here I am not acknowledging that's what that could be, energy parasites, and going, why do I feel like this? I feel so crap. So at the end of our conversation around midnight, it was like, maybe this is something I can work on too. Not just perspective on anger, not just learning that anger isn't the evil thing that I keep telling myself that it is. Maybe finding ways to be in anger and not be quite so uncomfortable, but also maybe finding a way to get rid of some of the negative energy so it's not attached to me. It's just as likely a possibility as anything, you know? And if anyone listening has ever heard about the Archons, the article online that I read that says never call them Archons, call them ankle biters. So when I say ankle biters, I specifically am talking about those parasitic entities, because Archon means God, mm-hmm. and they aren't worthy of that name, as powerful as they are, though. That's a really fascinating rabbit hole to go down. You learn a lot. I reached a point where I learned they not only feed off of negative energy, but they feed off of blood. And once I learned that, I was like, I need to stop right here. I don't want to know more. Because that makes too much sense. It really does for the evilness in the world. And I already fight nihilism. I don't want to make it worse by learning more.
That is one thing about anger, is it feeds upon itself and it explodes and it goes everywhere. And the more you feed it, the more you act with it, the more you let it consume you, the bigger it gets.
Yeah.
Especially if you act on it, you know, in this third dimension, you know, it's like you're giving that all your energy. And that's why I think for me, it's so important to just sit with it and be with it, but not act out on it towards anyone.
So don't feed it. Don't let it grow and explode.
Just allow yourself to feel it and be with it like you would a screaming child. And love it while it's happening.
Oh.
But still allow yourself to feel that anger and be okay with it. It's like embracing that anger, but you know it's not going anywhere else but with you.
Wow, what a good analogy.
One thing that I realized recently, like, because you're talking about how the ankle biters and that type of energy and entities can attach to our anger. For me, I can feel the difference between my anger and the ankle biters. I can feel like when it's them and when it's not.
Okay.
Because when I feel like the gratification of the ankle biters, I can feel that gratification from that release. Mm-hmm. That's when I know I'm in a space where I'm being completely taken over by that anger.
Okay. For me, it's when I see the thought processes growing with each thought. Mm. Growing, growing, growing. It's like something is feeding my thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's not me. And I'm having to listen to the thoughts get bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. And then
more
so
negative.
Then it's not you anymore.
Yeah. I used to, and I said this to Rainey, I used to pay attention to that. But somewhere along the line, I stopped paying attention to it.
Well, maybe that's the problem. It's an addictive energy. It's something that we want that release from. But we think we're getting the release when we're not.
Hmm.
But one thing that I realized recently, all my life, like I've had this tension and just recently I realized, oh my gosh, I'm angry 24/7 all the time. I'm angry at my life. I'm angry at my situation, everything I've been through. And I would go about my day to where, like, if something didn't go right, I'd just get pissed off. And I wouldn't act out on it, but I would just feel it and feel it and feel it all the time. And I didn't even realize this until recently. I was going through some stuff and I was like, holy crap. I just realized I'm angry all the time. I don't want to feel angry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to feel this way all the time. And once I realized it, it shifted. And now it's
your
like,
awareness just changed it.
Yeah.
Huh.
It just shifted. And now I'm like, there's no reason to put myself in that draining energy of constantly being angry.
Yeah.
And now it's more like, I don't know, it's just, well, whatever comes, you know, here we go. You know, it's like no big deal. Like before it was like, everything has to go my way.
I feel lucky that I don't have to deal with anger on a pretty constant basis, which I think is why I freak out so much, is because when I get angry, it's just, I feel ugly. I feel awful. I feel miserable. I deal with more pain. Like, you name it, and I have to feel it.
Well, so a positive thing about anger is it can help us build boundaries with people.
Oh, true.
And it can also help us stand up for ourselves.
Yeah.
It can help us feel empowered. It can help us with confidence.
Yeah.
It helps us build that within us. And I'm so proud of myself. Like recently I was angry with someone who was gaslighting me and lying to me, trying to make me believe something that wasn't true and just saying hurtful things to me that just weren't absolutely untrue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally I would just let him have it, you know, tell him off. But this time I just allowed myself to feel the anger until the anger dissipated. And it took about 3 or 4 weeks and just noticing it, writing down my feelings about it. I wrote that person a letter about how they were lying and mistreating me. And I knew at some point I had to talk to them about it and to set boundaries. Like 2 or 3 months went by and then I saw that person again. And I realized I didn't even need to talk to them about it because they were in such a different place that they couldn't even comprehend what I would want to say. And they were on their own journey and I just let it go.
Hmm.
And I realized I can emotionally set boundaries and I can set boundaries without having to say a word.
Wow. Without them even knowing.
Yeah. They didn't even have to know. But I can guarantee you, I would not put myself in that position to be treated like that again.
Nice. Good. Yeah, I recently had to say to somebody, I'm not going to engage. How I worded it was, I'm not going to engage in your dramatic pretense. I said, don't text again. And bowed out. Yes, I blocked them so they couldn't text again. I'm the one who stopped them, not trusting that they would heed my wishes. And I was angry. Because one of the things that sends me to anger, one of my triggers is harassment. And I'm prone to feel harassed where someone else might not, just because of my situation. I see harassment first, unfortunately, when somebody just keeps push, push, push. And I said, what's done is done. I'm not going to engage in your dramatic pretense. Don't text again. That felt really good. Like, I'm not making drama. I'm saying it's done. You can't do anything about it. I guess boundary is really just the best word for it. But it took anger to do that, even though it wasn't huge anger, it was small anger. It was feeling harassment arising and me going, oh, no, you don't. No. You don't get to harass me. What's amazing to me is that a lot of emotions do absolutely manifest physically for me. And of course, I don't want that, but it sure seems to be true that super random emotions can present themselves in a physical way for me. You could call that psychosomatic. Maybe that's exactly what it is. I'm not emotionally feeling good. In order to physically feel better, I need to emotionally feel better. And even just a friend bringing laughter or smiles into your day, as I was telling you earlier today, makes a huge difference. And bam, headache gone, or bam, I feel better. Bam, I have the energy to do something I didn't 30 minutes ago. So one of my questions that I wanted to ask was, are there emotions associated to anger for you?
Oh, like gaslighting.
Yes.
Instant anger.
Yes.
And my child knows that. So now I just sit with it and I don't engage and I wait and then I approach the subject when I'm not angry anymore.
Hmm.
Because, you know, teenagers like to have control.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason it sends me to anger so fast is because I relate it to stupidity. You're stupid if you think that I think that what you're saying right now is true. That's how I always end up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gaslighting me and I'm an intelligent person, I see it for what it is.
Yeah.
And that makes you stupid because you think I'm going to believe everything you're saying. And I'm not trying to label your child. I'm
right.
Just saying, this is my thought process with gaslighting, which is why gaslighting will just instantly make me so mad. Oh gosh, if you act stupid, especially middle-aged white men think they're so funny and clever when they just sound so stupid. They say the stupidest things. Working in a coffee shop, a lot of them assume that just because you haven't pushed a button yet, that you're not going to push it.
I know.
And it's like, well, you're the one speaking so quickly. Like, why would you think I could touch every button as fast as you're saying it?
It's like they're pushing every boundary to see where their boundary lies.
Yeah.
It's a test of the boundaries.
The other day when that happened, I said, I'm not finished. When he started repeating himself because he could see that I hadn't pushed all the buttons he just said.
Yeah, another thing that bugs me is the defamation of character. Somebody lying about me and what I did and didn't do.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make somebody else not like me. That will just, I'm done with that person right off the bat. Like, I'm just done.
Yeah.
Like, that anger for that situation does not go away for me.
Yeah, I almost don't know how to deal with that when that happens to me. It does make me angry. But also on some level, I refuse to put things right. I refuse to figure out what was said, correct it, stand my ground, stand up for myself. There's just too much involved.
It's like emotional blackmail, and I do not play the game of blackmail. Yeah. I will just say whatever you want, make up whatever you want, tell that person. And if that person doesn't know me well enough to know that I'm not like that, then they can go away.
Yeah. Exactly. I feel that way too. That's a weird type of anger for me because I literally just throw hands in the air while being angry. Yep. But yeah, I have ended many a friendship because of that. Like a friend in air quotes, saying something about me that causes a knock-on effect for my detriment in other people's minds. And I just go, all right, done. If my friendship wasn't worth respecting and not doing that, you don't get it. Moving on. Easy.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's happened to me a few times in life, that a really close friend has just, for whatever reason, completely done an about face. Usually there's been encouragement. I've noticed that encouragement from somebody else always seems to follow. And so I, again, hands in the air. If you're not going to know what you know and go a different direction and badmouth me, okay. My friendship is great enough, I can take it elsewhere. Yeah. Somebody else will want it.
I think another one, disrespect, you know, just somebody trying to control me or disrespect me. It's like, I instantly get angry, but it's a silent anger.
Mm.
And then I just have to figure out how I'm going to deal with it. But I always want to make it so I have a good outcome in this situation, but I can still stand up for myself and say what needs to be said without like yelling or screaming or losing it, and just having a respect for that person, even though they don't have a respect for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like just recently I felt that the people around me like to try to set traps to make me angry. And because I look at them as a trap, I don't engage.
Mm.
But I guess it depends on, like, there's a certain authority people in my life that like to come at me and then watch to see what I do. And I can tell they're just watching and waiting for me to just get upset because they're being a jerk. And it's like, no, you're not worth my time. I'm not even going to do it. So I don't give them the juice that they're looking for. And then they just turn around and confused, trying to figure out what else to do next time.
Mm. I always ask myself, in a situation where I have to deal with something like that, I always wonder, would finding the words to call it out and label it to their face have the effect of stopping them? Like, to use your words, is this a trap? Are you setting a trap that I'm supposed to somehow get caught in?
Nice.
Like, they say whatever fucking dumb thing they say, and then you respond with, are you trying to somehow trap me into a response that you want, instead of addressing what they were just talking about?
Right. Unfortunately for me, I've kind of done that, just not in those exact words, and it's just come back to shoot me in the
foot. Damn.
So I've learned to just walk away and not give them any energy whatsoever in that position.
I have many times in my life noticed that the quiet one, whoever becomes the quiet one, is the one with the power.
Mm-hmm.
It really does feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So just walking away in silence leaves the person who just spoke with their words ringing in the air.
Yep.
Empty.
Yep.
Unending.
It doesn't land anywhere.
No. The quiet one. Let it just keep rolling along.
I've had this one situation at a job before where I knew if I'd said something, then it would just get worse. But then they kept pushing and pushing and trying to make something look different than it actually was. So I had to bring it up in a meeting in front of everyone to hear the truth in order for it to dissipate. And I'm not usually like that.
That's so uncomfortable to have to do.
Yeah. I'm not usually like that and I don't like to do it, but it worked.
Good. Yeah, I hate confrontation. I hate drama. And so when I feel forced to have to say something, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, it sucks. But I had to say it in front of other people so there would be witnesses.
Mm.
So he would have to feel like he had to be careful of what he was saying and be honest. And then it ended up because I called him out on something because of a new rule that was only for me, but not for everyone else. So I brought up this new rule in the meeting. And then the person over him was like looking at him like, what? And he's like, nice. You know, I was just joking.
Of course he would have to say that in front of everyone.
Yes.
I'm sorry you had to do that, but good for you.
Oh, it's just a joke. Okay, that means it's not a rule just for me. You can make this rule for everyone, but not just for me.
Wow, good for you. Yeah, that's the hard shit I don't want to do. It really is.
I hate it.
Not that any one of us shouldn't have to do it. Maybe we have to do it, you know? And maybe it's warranted and maybe it's necessary and maybe all those things. But it doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. But the one thing I keep telling myself when shit happens is, what is this teaching me?
Mm.
What is this for me? What is the outcome? What am I learning through this?
You know what you just made me think is, maybe this is just practice.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a lesson on its own, but it's practice for the lesson I'm having to learn. Mm-hmm. And if we don't practice, how can you get there?
Yep. Building blocks.
Yeah. Maybe I need to invite the word practice into my realizations of dealing with anger. Natalie, you got to practice. Oh, look, anger has appeared. Oh, look, you're harassed. Oh, look, you're mad that they're stupid. Practice.
Yeah, when that anger that would overtake me so strongly about the rage that my dad had that was within me when it first started showing up, I was devastated. I was like, no, I cannot do this. I cannot be like them. How do I not be this? And it became a journey where I'm at now. It's like, holy shit, this journey of anger has been a major part of my life and a major part of figuring out who I am and who I'm not.
Hmm.
And who I choose to be and who I choose not to be.
Wow, that's an excellent way to see it.
You have to make that choice because anger is so strong and so prevalent when it shows up that you have to make a choice in that moment.
You made me just think of another question. It feels like I'm changing the subject, even though I'm not. But do you think there's a difference between women being angry and men being angry? I got to elaborate for that to make sense. Men seem to be so quick to anger. And it seems to be so acceptable. Whereas women seem to be less quick to anger and it's unacceptable.
Right.
Do you think that there's a gender disparity?
I think there's a lot that plays into that because there's testosterone. Men just having that masculine energy are just automatically quicker to anger because of not only testosterone, but because of their role in society. And women are supposed to be sweet and nice, and men are supposed to be rawr, you know.
Mm.
So it's okay if men are angry. So just being put into those roles of masculine and feminine perspectives of what should and shouldn't be in society, like we have to learn how to play anger in a different way than men do.
Mm.
But for me, I feel like that, I don't know, maybe I have just more masculine energy in me, but I've had to be in situations where I had to physically stand up for myself. And I've also protected a lot of families like being quick to be in that anger situation with, like with my dad. I stood up to my dad and I told him, I said, I don't care if you kill me. You are not walking back through this door. You are not coming back into this home.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I had all the adrenaline pumping in me that I wasn't afraid. I was like, I was ready to die. I was ready to put my life on the line.
And fight.
And fight. I put my body in that doorway and I said no. So I think we can take on the energy of what a masculine reaction might be compared to a feminine reaction might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I have a lot of masculine energy. And I hadn't considered that either, that that may or may not be a factor. I mean, just question marks all around. Mm-hmm. See, this is so much better than therapy.
Yeah.
Like just talking to my friends. It's like an advent calendar. I'm opening all these little things in every episode.
Yeah. I wonder if in the therapy situation, they kind of have an authority. So it changes the dynamic. Especially when it comes to anger, like you want that mutuality, that equality feeling to where you have space to have that more openness in a way.
Well, and I genuinely do believe, especially today, given that I'm still within the week of telling the therapist I'm not going to see her anymore. That was Monday, today's Friday, and I've sat here and recorded with four people since then. I already have changed my opinion on therapy. Because if something is therapy, it's therapeutic, it's healing, it's fixing, it's like therapy means a lot of things. And when you don't get that through labeled therapy, but you get those things through conversations with friends, that's the goods. And so I'm completely changing my perspective. I have many times on podcasts said, I'm genuinely asking. Like I'll ask a question and then I'll say to nobody, I'm genuinely asking. Not that anybody's going to answer me, but honestly, I do. I want feedback. I want opinions. I want input and perspective that isn't mine. I want perspective from elsewhere. I'm finally doing a project where I get that. And not only am I just getting that, oh, damn, am I getting it. There's so much to consider. I'm realizing that what I'm probably going to have to do at the end of this series on anger is do an episode that kind of sums things up. Bring all of the greatest elements that really hit me as, oh my God, I need to consider that. Oh my God, I need to see that. Oh my God, what a great idea. All those OMGs. I need to do an episode that wraps up a bunch of OMGs. And the reason for that is not necessarily for anyone else, but for me, because I listen to my own episodes again and they become current anew.
I love that because it's like when you get a new thought and a new perspective, and then you want to incorporate it in your life and live from that energy. And in order to do that, you have to listen and reiterate it over and over again. So that's one way to solidify it into your life experience.
Mm. Yeah. Plus the amount of time that I spend writing, then recording, then editing, and then I listen to it again later. Some sentences really do kind of solidify in my mind. And so I now have access to, let's call it a quote, because you know how you can remember good quotes? Well, it's almost like I'm creating some of those on my own. Sentences that I can just pull out of my hat.
And then make them t-shirts and put them on your merch.
I should, huh?
Yes.
I should have
yes.
Nat and Chat merch. You know, I've thought many times I just need to make a Nat and Chat logo and that would just be enough to encourage me to create merch because yes. I love making logos. Okay. Just created a job for myself. And with so many episodes, I might have a lot of reference.
Yeah, one saying I was thinking of was there's a space between stimulus and response. And I can't remember who said that. I don't know if it's Viktor Frankl or somebody else, but I love that because right when a strong energy comes at you, there's that space in between stimulus and response that you could hold yourself into before you decide how you're going to respond.
Yeah, that space is like decision. Stimulus, decision, response. And some people don't allow it, don't allow the space. There is no decision.
Yeah.
It's just immediate response and it's poor.
There's always the decision.
Yeah.
There's a reaction, but in that reaction, you choose who you are.
Yeah. Annoyingly, I always come back to my dad killing all the chickens with a baseball bat when I hear something like that.
Oh, no.
Because there's no way he didn't consciously decide to swing that bat over and over and over.
He just gave in to the anger and let it flow through him, but he took action on it instead of being with it.
Yeah, even saying that, I am so incredibly disappointed. You know, I think disappointment flares my nihilism more than anything. Yeah, but I'm glad I thought of that because I don't like the nihilism. And so I don't mean to cry. I just realized it kind of hit hard. But because I don't enjoy the nihilism, I don't like the nihilism, I want to shun it. The awareness that disappointment feeds it might mean on some level I can avoid disappointment so that I can avoid being nihilistic. Have you ever heard of optimistic nihilism?
Mm-mm.
I hadn't either.
So you'll have to explain what nihilism means.
So nihilism is like a state of mind that is a very defeatist, lack of hope, disappointed.
It's like depression, and wanting to die kind of feeling.
Well, I don't know if wanting to die, because it's not quite so personal.
Oh,
it's
I see.
More like, in fact, you could argue optimism and nihilism are opposites.
Yeah, right. Okay.
To say optimism makes you want to live is not quite accurate, but right. Nihilism makes you want to die, also not quite accurate.
So it's something like, I can't think of the word.
Here, I could just look up a definition. Nihilism, the rejection of all religious and moral principles in the belief that life is meaningless.
Oh, okay.
Extreme skepticism, maintaining that nothing in the world has a real existence. I would say that nothing in the world really matters because it's all awful. The more I see on any social media of people being stupid, people being hateful, people being ignorant.
Oh, I know.
It makes me so nihilistic. It's just like, I hate the world. What's the point of all of this if everybody's just such a piece
exactly.
of shit? Which is why the disappointment. If I can somehow avoid disappointment, I can avoid feeling levels of nihilism that are uncomfortable.
And when people disappoint you that are in your life, that's devastating.
There are enough strangers out there that are disappointing. Oh, when people that you know and love or have in your immediate life, when they disappoint you, it's like, oh God, more? Too much.
Yeah, I guess I've been nihilistic in the last couple months. Because I've had major, major disappointments over and over and over and over and over again to where I couldn't be anything other than nihilistic.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I would say, more of a state of mind.
Yeah, that's what it's become for me.
Yeah.
Like, I miss the imaginative, fun, joyful feeling of being a kid and making up stories and just finding so much joy in that.
I agree. Gosh, tag, when we were kids.
Yeah.
You could give it your all. It was so easy to give it your all.
Shit was going down my entire childhood. Like, we were hiking up in those mountains to get away from the bullshit my parents were creating. And we were just having a blast. We were making up stories. We figured out how to have fun no matter what the F was happening around us.
That's awesome. That's the strength of children.
Mm-hmm. So just saying that made me tune into it and I felt good for a minute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I keep thinking and telling myself, yeah, I want to feel that again. I want to feel that again. And then I think about how to feel it and then I try to grab that emotion and run with it when I can.
I've been trying to concentrate on joy more. For some reason, it feels a little elusive, like I need to write about it like it's something in fairy tales, mm-hmm. and it's not. But I've been trying. I've been trying to write about it. I've been trying to think about it. I've been trying to find it in places. And I'm doing pretty good. I think I need to label more things with joy than I might be labeling with lucky. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier for me to use the word lucky than gratitude. So maybe I need to transform lucky into gratitude and gratitude into joy.
I like that.
Just by my mental.
After your anger episodes, do joy.
That's a great idea. I did start an episode titled Joy. I started writing it. So I haven't finished writing it. I haven't obviously recorded it, but that's a good idea.
But do an episode interviewing people about it too.
Oh.
Do the same thing you're doing. Oh, with anger,
okay.
With
okay. Sherry's idea. Like a immediate credit. Immediate credit. What a great idea.
No, it's so good because talking about anger, you want to experience opposite polarity insights that you would gain for something positive as something negative. So it will bring balance because that's what I'm focused on lately.
Yes, excellent. Oh, thank you. Oh, such a good idea. Thank you so much.
Because you deserve to experience a deeper awakening in that area as much as...
True. And every one of us should. Cool. Well, Sherry, you've given me so much to think about. I'm so grateful.
I am too. This is fun.
Yeah. Everybody says that. And I'm always like, oh, good. The vibe in here is hopefully fun on its own. And then to be part of something that feels like it's actually going to go somewhere. And, you know, you'll be able to listen to it.
You make everything fun. Even if it's like a hard subject to talk about, you make it fun to talk about.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, well, you'll be listening to yourself soon.
Yeah. I'll listen to the other ones, just not the ones with me.
No, it'll be so good. You'll love it. Okay. Okay, I love you.
Love you.